The following is a Race Day Las Vegas presentation in association with Sirocco Productions Limited on the Race Day Las Vegas Radio Network.
From the gaming capital of the world, time for Race Day Las Vegas, covering the sport of kings with a Las Vegas perspective. Now, to the race desk with your host, Ralph Sirocco.
From the backstretch to the turf flow, at the race books and on the internet, to all horse players around the world, a good morning. All righty, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Race Day Las Vegas radio program for this Wednesday as we kick off the big Belmont Racing Festival week at Saratoga. Oh, my, oh, my, oh, my. Of course, the big meet, the four-day big meet starts tomorrow, Thursday. But we kick off the Belmont Stakes Week Race Day Las Vegas radio program today on this Wednesday, coming to you live and direct from the gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, right here from the South Point Studios and the South Point Studios Network streaming at YouTube. We welcome you to the show today. And, of course, all of the other platforms that we have, like our anchor radio station here in town, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world, .global, your iPhone or your Android apps that you can get on your App Store, of course, the KSHP app to listen to us, and, of course, the YouTube app that you can listen and see us on the South Point Studio streaming network at YouTube, and of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. Simply put, however, wherever, whenever, welcome to this starting week of the Belmont Racing Festival at Saratoga Race Day Show, coming to you from your gaming capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. Beautiful day today. Right now, it's 82 degrees. We're going to get, it's 82 degrees out here right now. We're going to get up to 104 today here in Las Vegas. We're under a little bit of an excessive heat warning, so they say, the weatherman says, for the next couple of days. We're going to get into the, right around 110, somewhere in there. But for the most part, it is clear outside and warm. It's warm, but this is the way it is at this time of the year here in Las Vegas. What's more important is what's going on at Saratoga Springs in New York, where, of course, the Belmont Stakes and all the great Belmont Stakes races over the next 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, will be held. We'll get into those races in just a moment. But what they say, what the weatherman says right now for Saratoga Springs is this. Tomorrow, 85% thunderstorms, they say, rain, 78 degrees a high. On Friday, they say there will be showers with a 45% chance of precipitation, and the high will be 76. On Belmont Stakes Saturday, weatherman says 47% chance of continued rain, the high will be 70 degrees, showers. And then on Sunday, the closing day of the four-day meet, 40% chance with AM showers and a high of 72. That's what the weatherman says. Now, you and I both know that when we cover Saratoga every year, these rainstorms that come through Saratoga come through, they dump rain in about 20, 30 minutes, and then it's gone, and then the track goes from fast to sloppy, etc. But it's different, a little bit different now in the month of June rather than the month of August at Saratoga. And our man on the scene up there, Jonathan Hardoon, who is going to be right up there, he said there's Saratoga, and this week they're racing in his backyard, so we're going to keep a close tab right on the scene with Jonathan Hardoon. And he told me before the show that the weatherman at Saratoga Springs is looking for a possibility that there won't be as much rain as the national weather forecast says. Oh, boy, we're crossing our fingers for that, because what a monster 4 days coming up at Saratoga. Possibly the four best racing days at Saratoga ever, or certainly for a long time, and possibly the best four racing days we've seen here so far this year, and we're already in the middle of 2024. For example, Thursday, the racing card at Saratoga will have 10 races. There'll be in the stakes races, here's the fields now. The Tremont Stakes has 8 in it. The Jersey Girl has 8 in it. The Astoria has 9, and the Belmont Gold Cup has 14 entered, with, of course, 2 also eligibles in that race. And by the way, in that race, we've got a horse that's going for his repeat in the Belmont Gold Cup. Siskiyou is favored to win that race again. So we'll wait and see about that. That's on Thursday. On Friday, we have 12 races on tap at Saratoga. The stakes races are the Intercontinental with 10 in it. The Just a Game has 7 in it, just 7. But check this out. Chad Brown has 5 of the 7 entrants in the Just a Game on Friday. Then you'll have the New York Stakes with 13 entered. The Acorn, the big race for the three-year-old fillies, the companion, of course, to the Black-Eyed Susans and the Kentucky Oaks. The Acorn has 9 in it. It is the 12th and final race on the card, and it will pit Just FYI and Torpedo Anna among the 9 in the field there in the Acorn. That's the last race on Friday. Saturday, Belmont Stakes Day, 14 races. The True North has 7 in it. The Poker has 8 in it. The Suburban has 8. The Ogden Phipps has 6. That's a deep field, too, the Ogden Phipps. The Woody Stevens will have a dozen horses. The Jaipur will have 16, with 4 also eligibles. The Manhattan will have 9. And the two big races on the day, the Met Mile will be the 10th race on the card, and the 12th race will be the Belmont Stakes. The Belmont Stakes will be the 12th race of the 14 races on Saturday. So you can see we're in for a whole bunch of great racing at Saratoga, that's for sure. We'll be covering it on the Race Day Show this way. John Lindo may have to do his show on Saturday, May, early, because they're going to be doing it on location at Fairplex Park on Saturday. If that is indeed the case, we'll get John to go over all of the Belmont Stakes Day stakes races on our Friday show. And then, of course, on Saturday, we'll highlight Jonathan Hardoon going over those same races as well, along with Rich Ang, etc., and maybe another guest announcer. As you know, Jerry Jackowitz is now on sabbatical, so he won't be with us on the shows, but we'll have his selections for New York, and, of course, Saratoga is part of New York. So we're gearing up for a big, big weekend, a big week, really, from Saratoga Racecourse, that's for sure. But it's going to be one hell of a weekend no matter what. Let's hope that the weatherman locally at Saratoga is a little bit more on mark than the national weatherman is right now. So that's how we're going to work it for the big races coming up. Flavien Prat got his stay. Remember, he was about to serve a suspension for an infraction over at San Anita. He got his stay, so he'll be able to ride all the weekend stakes races at Saratoga. Big news was the Louisiana Racing Commission. They got all that feedback about laxing the drug rules, especially for clenbuterol, had an emergency meeting that happened yesterday, and they reverted back to the old rules. They canceled the new rules. The old rules are now in place on the new drug. It's the new drug on the new drug rules. No more new drug rules. They go back to the old drug rules at in Louisiana. Big backlash on that with the clenbuterol situation. So they're back to the old rules now in racing in Louisiana. The HISA welfare unit lifted Mr. Weaver, George Weaver's suspension that he got about 5 weeks, something like that. They lifted that. What the welfare unit and HISA is now looking at is their new guidelines on contamination, because a lot of these trainers are getting zapped big time for what is being deemed a contamination there. So Weaver is his suspension has been lifted. And as far as the Belmont Stakes concern, this race has been run from a mile and one eighth to a mile and five eighths over the course of the years of racing at the Belmont Stakes. So the mile and a quarter difference in distance is not a big deal. In fact, I believe it's been run at a mile and a quarter over the years of the Belmont Stakes 10 times. So the distance and the change of tracks is not new, but it will be run at Saratoga for the first time. Saratoga, believe it or not, is the oldest active sporting venue in the country. Almost 160 years of racing at Saratoga. It opened before the end of the Civil War. And one of the big wins at Saratoga, of course, was a horse called Upset that beat the Great Man of War. The only time the Great Man of War ever got beat was beaten by a horse called Upset. It was such a surprise at the time that now when a horse gets beat that should have won, big favorite, etc., they call it an upset because of Upset beating Man of War then. And so for the first time, the race will be run, the Belmont Stakes at Saratoga, and it will also be run in 2025 at Saratoga as well, as, of course, as you know, the Belmont Park is going through 2 years of renovations. They have capped off the attendance at Saratoga at 50,000 people. 50,000. Now, there have been times when Saratoga has held a lot more people than that, but they're going to cap it off at 50,000 people. And believe it or not, the city of Saratoga population is 28,000. So it's going to look like Oaklawn Park in Hot Springs when they have the big races there. The population at the racetrack bigger than the population of the town. Just some of the things going on. A little bit later on the show, we're going to go through some of the history of the Belmont Stakes as far as all the contortions that it has had. A lot of people think that, you know, it's been running at a mile and a half forever, but it's not only been run at different distances, but it's been run at a lot of different racetracks as well. So we'll wait and see about that. All in all, a lot to cover on this Wednesday Race Day show as we start off on the big Belmont Racing Festival week and the Belmont Stakes as well. We'll get into the Belmont Stakes field and the Met Mile field in just a moment. But we'll get right started with our first break. Jonathan Ardoon, John Lindo, and Rich Eng on the show as well. So we're starting out here from Las Vegas on a very hot, hot Wednesday morning that's going to get a lot warmer both on the racetrack and in the books here before the week is out. Don't go away.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
On race day for this Wednesday, and before we get started with your racing menu for today, I just want to give you a little bit of an update on what happened Sunday. As you know, Jerry Jack was, like we said, going on a sabbatical. He won't be back until, I believe, July 7th, but his power page is also going on sabbatical as they continue to work on some of the improvements on their computers, etc., at his office. But he will have the Jerry J's power page, just won't have the Power Page Plus for both Santa Anita and New York during his sabbatical. And he kind of left us, you know, with a big drum roll on Sunday because he gave us two winners. Both at Santa Anita, he gave us the first race winner, Catonia, that paid $4 even, but was a singleton in the early pick five. Later on, Jerry came with the sixth race winner, Itzel, paying $9 even. He also caught the Exacta, the trifecta and the superfecta with his connecting horses there. And John Lindo came with the winner in the last race, Sassy Francelot, paying $580. So our guys did very well on Sunday at Santa Anita. The pick six, remember they had that carryover. The pick six paid $16,593. And, of course, Phil D'Amato had two wins on Sunday at Santa Anita, both on the turf. Go figure, right? Churchill Downs, the Mint Julep, was won by De Gea. Tyler Gaffleon, Chad Brown there, $4.36. Brad Cox had back-to-back winners in the eighth and ninth races there. And that's just about it as far as what happened on Sunday. Now we'll get started with the racing menu for today, and then we'll get to Jonathan Ardoon and take a look at both the Belmont Stakes field and the Manhattan field, the Met Mile field as well. All right, here's the menu of racetracks available today in the Racebook. Simulcast centers and racetracks around the country. I want to remind you the first post times we broadcast on this show each and every day reflect that of the Pacific time zone, because that's where we're at here in Las Vegas in the Pacific time zone. And these will be the first post times that roll out today in our Racebook here at South Point. If you're listening on any of the different platforms that we have that go around the world and you're in another time zone, adjust to it so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad. Okay, here's the menu for today. We begin with Delaware Park. Delaware Park has nine races. Their feature race today is the $100,000 Rehoboth Stakes. Six furlongs, fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up, a field of 10 before any scratches. You got a 3-5 favorite there. Alva Star in the Rehoboth. Nine races, Delaware. First post time is at 9:30. 9:30 at Delaware Park. Then we go to Volterra Park. Volterra Park has eight races, and their first post time there is at 9:35. 9:35 at Volterra Park today. Their Super High Five carryover there is $9,644. A regular Super High Five carryover at Volterra today for their racing card. Churchill Downs, nine races today, first post time 9:45, their pick six jackpot carryover $135,318, $135,318 in the carryover at Churchill Downs pick six jackpot, first post time is at 9:45, and then we got Finger Lakes, upstate New York, Finger Lakes, first post time there for eight races, 10:15, Horseshoe Indianapolis has 10 races. Eight thoroughbred races. The last two races will be quarter horse races. And by the way, there's two thoroughbred stakes races today at Horseshoe Indianapolis. The $100,000 Shelby County is the seventh on the card. Six furlongs for fillies and mares, three-year-olds and up. A field of 12. That's wide open, too. 7-2 favorite there is Imagine the Moon. Then the $100,000 William Henry Harrison Stakes. Eighth race at six furlongs for three-year-olds and up. Sees a field of 9. 7-5 favorite there is Mr. Chaos. Again, 10 races at Horseshoe Indianapolis and a first post time of 11:10. Presque Isle Downs has eight races today. Presque Isle Downs has a first post time of 12 high noon. Then you've got Louisiana Downs with seven races there. Pick six jackpot carryover, $44,484 at Louisiana Downs. Seven races, first post time 2:05. And we'll wrap it up with Penn National. Penn National has the first post time for their seven races at 2:45. 2:45 at Penn National. All right. Let's go to Jonathan Ardoon. Jonathan, good morning from Saratoga. Good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. Beautiful day here today. I wish we get this weather the rest of the week. It would be fantastic. So we keep getting different reports. The local news is saying, may rain, may not rain, 20%, you know, all different. A lot less chance of rain than if you read the national forecast. So I don't know what to tell you. It doesn't sound, it sounds crazy that you can't get the right weather report, but that's what they're reporting, and that's what I'm telling you that
well,
I heard.
Well, there's two angles to your local. First of all, the local guy knows the local patterns, et cetera, maybe a lot more than the national. But, of course, the local guys also paid in Saratoga Springs, and I'm sure that Saratoga Racetrack wants them to say that it's going to be looking good. So we'll wait and see about that. But, boy, I'm telling you, you have to tell people out there, because we were talking before the show, what is the price of a pizza now this week at Saratoga?
It's crazy. At the track, I think it's $35 or $36 and $7 a slice. So if you want to get a beer and a slice of pizza, it's about, I don't know, it's about $25 maybe. It's crazy.
So a guy taking a date to his wife to the racetrack says, okay, honey, we do one of two things. We get a pizza and a beer or we pay the car payment.
And you can't even pay in cash. You have to put it
on
the
credit card. Oh.
Not accepting any cash.
Can you imagine a guy going for a pizza and a couple of beers and them saying your card's been denied?
I'm sure it'll happen, Ralph. It's just a crazy situation.
All right, back to racing. Belmont Stakes Day, a great card on Belmont Stakes Day. First of all, I do want to go over just a quick thumbnail of the horses entered in both the big stakes races on, well, they're all big, but I mean, the Met Mile is traditional. The Met Mile is the 10th race on Saturday at a mile. It's just a field of six, but I got to tell you, it's a competitive six because there's going to be, a square off between National Treasure, the Bob Baffert trainee, at 8-5 with Flavian Pratt, and White Abarrio, who is the Breeders' Cup Classic winner at 6-5 with Irad Ortiz Jr. The other window dressing in the race is Castle Chaos, Post Time, Blazing Sevens, and Hoist the Gold. And I got to tell you that, Hoist the Gold is a very interesting possibility at 15-1. How you see it?
Yeah, but I think you have it right. I think it's National Treasure and White Abarrio for the most part. Again, it's only a six-horse field, so how deep do you want to go? But all the reports are that National Treasure has been training really very, very good. White Abarrio, an interesting horse. I mean, he runs every couple of months. He doesn't seem to put races together, and he seems to need time between races. But listen, Dutro does a terrific job with him, and if he has him right Saturday, certainly he could win.
Well, okay. It's going to be an interesting race, that's for sure. And the configuration of the Saratoga racetrack, the Met Mile will be at a mile. A couple of years ago, they constructed a chute that they used to have years ago, but they reconstructed a chute there at Saratoga, so it'll be a one-turn, one-mile event, right?
Well, it's a little more than a turn. It's like one turn and a hook. It starts on a turn. It starts on the clubhouse turn, sort of.
No, it doesn't start on the clubhouse turn. They actually do have a chute there, but it's like an angled chute, right?
Right. It's like a hook. It's like an elbow. It's kind of like coming down the hill at Santa Anita, 6.5 furlongs down the hillside turf course. Uh-huh. It's a big advantage being inside. Last summer, anyway, they brought it back maybe two summers ago.
Yeah.
And inside certainly has a little bit of an advantage.
Now, that is usually the opposite when you have a hook like that at most racetracks. Usually the outside horses have a better because the inside horses, as the field leaves the gate, they kind of compress towards the inside. And the inside horse has to make a big decision whether to take back and come off the pace or to contest and hold his ground on the rail before they hit the straight down the backstretch. But you say this is just the opposite.
It is, it is. And if you have speed on your inside, you really have an advantage.
Oh, wow.
Because, I think so. And a lot of people that play it agree with me. So
okay, so then happens. So then that handicapping philosophy, that handicapping tip would favor National Treasure.
Absolutely.
Okay.
But again, it's not a big field. There's only six horses. How many horses are in the field?
Six.
So
yeah.
No one's going to get lost. Yeah, so it's a short field,
But I don't think White Abarrio possesses the natural speed that National Treasure does. So.
No way.
Okay, we're just thumbnailing it today, folks. We'll get into these races more as we get to race day itself. Now the Belmont Stakes. Here's how they lined up when they drew on Monday. Number one is Seize the Gray. That's the Preakness winner for Lucas, and Jamie Torres will ride at 8-1. You got number two is Resilience at 10-1 with Junior Alvarado. Number three is Mystic Dan, the Kentucky Derby winner, 5-1 with Brian Hernandez back. You got the four, the Wine Steward. This is a horse that's joining the crowd now after, I guess he had setbacks. He was a little sick or whatever. The Wine Steward, 15-1 with Manny Franco. The five is Antiquarian. This is the horse that won the Peter Pan, which is the New York prep race for the Belmont Stakes. That, of course, I believe a Pletcher trainee at 12-1 with John Velasquez. Number six is Doorknock. An interesting kind of eclectic type of horse. You can never figure out this horse, but Doorknock is 15-1. Luis Saez, he's number six. The seven is Protective, a newcomer, also out of the Pletcher barn, 20-1 with Tyler Gaffleon, but Protective has shown flashes of brilliance in a very limited amount.
But he's also a maiden, Ralph, yeah, running in the Belmont Stakes.
Yeah.
He's never won a race.
That's what I said, a limited amount. That limited amount is the workouts on the racetrack in the morning. Number eight is Anna Marie, a horse who got molested in the Kentucky Derby, skipped the Preakness. Anna Marie, 12-1 with the new rider, Florent Garreau. The nine is Sierra Leone, beaten a nose in the Kentucky Derby, gets a new bit for this and a new jockey as well. Sierra Leone, morning line, 9-5, the favorite with Flavian Pratt aboard. And the 10 is Mind Frame, another horse that has shown brilliance in a limited amount. This also a Todd Pletcher trainee, 7-2 with Irad Ortiz Jr. First blush, how do you see it?
Well, Sierra Leone's obviously the horse to beat, you know, but there's not going to be much value. He's going to be the favorite. I'll tell you who's going to get overbet. Mind Frame is going to get overbet because everybody's talking about his work the other day with Fierceness. He's been working with Fierceness, and he's actually been holding his own and beating Fierceness in some of these works. Wow. That's why I think they decided to pass with Fierceness and give him more time and point for a race, you know, either the Haskell or the Travis down the road, and they're going with Mind Frame. But it's a lot to ask a horse in career start number three to run a mile and a quarter. You know, this is only his third lifetime start, and he's going to have to overcome the outside post as well. Not an easy thing to do, but listen, a mile and a quarter at Saratoga, you have a long run till you get to that first turn. They start at the top of the stretch, and there's plenty of time to get over. I just think it may be a lot to ask of this horse. I'm sure he's talented, and again, the works certainly point to him running a big race, but it's a lot to ask a horse to go a mile and a quarter career start number three against seasoned horses like Sierra Leone.
It's kind of like throwing this horse in the deep end of the pool, don't you think?
Yeah. Let's see if you could swim.
Yeah. Well, you know, that is, by the way, folks, it's the same distance as the Travers Stakes, the Midsummer Derby at Saratoga that'll be held, of course, in August this year. So it'll be interesting to see how many of the horses that run in this Belmont Stakes are going to entertain coming back in the Travers Stakes in August. But first things first, that's for sure. And, you know, we've got some other big races on Saturday at Saratoga, of course. And, of course, the Acorn Stakes on Friday. And that'll feature, you know, Torpedo Anna and Just FYI. How do you see that race?
A lot of terrific races, Ralph. I mean, you know, that's just another one on the card. They're full of great races. It's going to be a throwdown, certainly between those two horses, and you could even make a case for maybe another one or two. It's just a great weekend of racing. One race is better than the next. Obviously, that stake race where Chad Brown has five of the seven horses. By the way, the same thing happened last year, if you remember. And he won with the longest shot out of the five horses he had entered. So keep that in mind. With the exception of that race, most of the fields are nice sizes, you know, and it's just really terrific racing. And yet you have an opportunity to really make some money if you connect the dots. And we look forward to days like this. And now you're getting more than a day. You're getting a whole weekend of it. So should be great racing.
I can tell you right now, the Belmont Stakes has really had a lot of history behind it, and certainly has been run at a lot of different racetracks. Going over some of the key history points, in 1867, Ruthless won the first edition of the Belmont Stakes. That was a filly, run at a mile and 5/8 at Jerome Park. In 1890,
where was Jerome Park?
I have. It's got to be in New York. It's somewhere in New York. You know, pal, I'm old, but I was not born then, so. But
I thought you were there, Ralph.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
By the way, if you want to know where physically Jerome Parks was, it is now part of the Bronx in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's where Jerome Park originally was.
Some housing projects built on top of it, yeah. Next to the old Yankee Stadium and Polo Grounds.
Yeah. I imagine when they resell on the house, they say, no, this house sat right on the finish line of Jerome Park. All right, so anyhow, Jerome Park closed. We know that. It's now part of the Bronx. And nearby Morris Park took over as Belmont's home from 1890 to 1904. Don't ask me where Morris Park is, but it was nearby, okay? And then the filly Tenaya won the first edition of the Belmont Stakes at Belmont Park back in 1905. That's when they finally got it at Belmont. She won the race at a mile and a quarter at Belmont, and it marked the last win by a filly in this race for more than a century. 1911, anti-gambling, Hart Agnew Law of 1908 shut down New York racing, and the Belmont was not run in 1911 or 1912. But in 1920, probably the most famous, the Great Man of War followed a Preakness win with a victory in the mile and three-eighths Belmont. He won that race by 20 lengths and set an American record. Of course, later on, he would beat by Upset at your place at Saratoga. Gallant Fox won the Preakness, followed by the Kentucky Derby, and then the Belmont Stakes. They were not run in order then. The Belmont Stakes was run at a mile and a half. And then in 1926, a couple of years before that, the great Charles Hatton of the Daily Racing Form termed it what it is now, the Triple Crown. It wasn't called the Triple Crown before that. And Sir Barton had swept the race in 1919 and was conferred the honor after the fact of a Triple Crown winner. Citation became the eighth Triple Crown winner and fourth of six Belmont winners by the great Eddie Arcaro, who won it in 1941, 42, 45, 52, and 55. And he tied the all-time record with Jim McLaughlin. Belmont Park closed due to structure defects and was rebuilt and reopened in 1968. It was closed in 1963. And so the Belmont Stakes was run at Aqueduct from 1963 to 1967. And, of course, in 1973, now, I was born by then, by the way, so I witnessed what I thought was the best racehorse in my lifetime, only to be closely followed by Flightline a couple of years ago. But Secretariat won the Belmont Stakes by a jaw-dropping, unbelievable 31 lengths and won the Triple Crown at that in a record of 224 flat, snapping a 25-year drought in the Triple Crown since Citation won it. And then, of course, two more Triple Crown winners followed 1970. In the 1970s, Seattle Slough did it in 77, Affirm did it in 78. Woody Stevens saddled his first Belmont Stakes winner, Conquistador Cielo, 5 days after he won the Met Mile on the Monday before that in 1982. 1993, Julie Crone became the first woman to ever ride a Triple Crown winner with Colonial Affair. And in 2002, Savera was the biggest upset Belmont Stakes winner in history, paying $142.50 to win. He was trained by Kenny McPeak, who has Mystic Dan this year. 2004, a record crowd of 120,139 saw Smarty Jones. Unfortunately, did not get the Triple Crown that year. He finished second to Birdstone, who ran him down late. In 2007, Kentucky Oaks winner Rags to Riches outdueled a subsequent horse of the year, Curlin, to win that. Remember, that was a great Belmont Stakes. And, of course, in 2015, American Pharoah ended a 37-year Triple Crown wait, winning the Belmont Stakes. Justify, of course, followed 3 years later. He was the latest winner of the Belmont Stakes, the 150th edition. I mean, the latest Triple Crown winner, winning the 150th edition of the Belmont Stakes. So it's been quite a history of the Belmont Stakes. And, of course, a couple of years ago in 2020, in front of an empty grandstand, 'Tis the Law won the Belmont Stakes, which became the first leg in the Triple Crown because that was the pandemic year when nobody can go to the races, etc. So the final Belmont Stakes before the renovation this time was won by Arcangelo last year. trained by Jenna Antonucci, the first woman to train a Triple Crown race winner. That's the history of the Belmont.
You mentioned the history, but you didn't mention the fact that Woody Stevens won five Belmont Stakes. That record, I don't think, will ever be broken. Five consecutive, right, Belmont Stakes?
Yeah, I think he started, well, that will never be broken because of the fact that you can only win the Belmont Stakes 1 year with each individual horse, and that is a three-year-old. It is a mile and a half. All those races were a mile and a half at Belmont Park, which they call the Race of the Champion. And it was unbelievable that Woody would have a three-year-old in five consecutive years that was talented enough and, also healthy enough
and
run it. Yeah.
To be able to run it and to win it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just an unbelievable feat.
That record will never, ever be broken unless it's done by some AI. Somewhere along the line. Anyhow, a little brief history of the Belmont Stakes. Before we get started with all the stuff that we have to do this year, all of those statistics and all that was provided to us by the Daily Racing Forum. So I want to give them credit for that as well. All right. Well, we have quite a 4 days of coming up with a lot of stakes races, et cetera, at Saratoga for this Belmont Racing Festival. But I want to also tell everybody to keep an eye on the individual maiden races that come up during this 4 day period, because you and I both know that with the large expense, how expensive it is going to be at Belmont Park this week, that a lot of the key big owners and a lot of the key big ticket horses that have been bought at the sales and that have gone through their paces and are ready to run will probably be showcased in some of these maiden races, I would think, Jonathan.
Yeah, for sure. I heard that Wesley Ward has a killer coming up that he'll be running over the next few days. So when we get to those races, we'll discuss them and we'll share with everybody what we know and what we heard.
All right. In the meantime, I got my sheet in front of me now. We need a winner at somewhere today, and I would imagine it would be Churchill Downs.
That's the place. Seventh race today, 7 furlongs on the main track. And I like the number 2 horse in here, Paparina. This is a 4-year-old filly from the Ron Moquette barn. Tyler Gaffleon rides today. She's listed at 6-1 on the morning line. 4 career starts, each race better than the previous one. She should get a great trip in here. I like number 2, Paparina, to upset and win today's 7th race out of Churchill Downs.
All right, we're going to start the week with a winner from Jonathan Ardoon.
Yes.
Yes, let's get off the schneid. 7th race at Churchill Downs, the 2. Paparina, the 2 in the 7th race. We're going to start out a nice run through the Saratoga meet and right up to the Belmont Stakes. Jonathan, thanks so much. Oh, By the way, this is usually your soapbox day. Do you have any soapbox at all? Nothing.
No, I'm happy that Heisa keeps changing the rules as they kick the can down the road. Now metformin is not a death penalty or certainly not a major penalty where trainers are being suspended 2 and 4 years for it. So that's a good thing, I guess. It's a bad thing the way they keep changing the rules. And, I guess now Jonathan Wong, his suspension should be lifted. They lifted the George Weaver suspension.
Yeah.
So why is his case not going to be suspended? I think it will be. And the fact that Louisiana, the state, came to their senses and did away with the rules they changed last week, because the problem is people weren't going to ship in there. No one was going to want, even fairgrounds was going to be affected by the rules.
Yeah.
So if you have clombuterol in your system, you can't run for 6 months. Yeah. So how are you going to get anyone to come there and run? You're not.
That was a big backlash, that's for sure. But at least they said, okay, fine. We're going to change it back. They didn't.
Well, why don't they think about things before they do it?
Oh, please. Come on. Do I have to say the word government to you?
No.
All right. Anyhow, thanks a lot, Jonathan. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Thank you, Ralph. Stay safe and be well.
All right. Coming up next, Rich Eng standing by. And, hey, look, we got the NBA Finals about ready to do it. And then the, Stanley Cup Finals as well. So we got other stuff going on in sports, too. We'll be right back with Rich Eng. Don't go away.
Who is there for heroes or the families left behind when a service member or first responder dies or is catastrophically injured in the line of duty? Who helps our country's homeless veterans? And who helps our nation to never forget 9/11? Let me tell you who. The Tunnel to Towers Foundation. The Foundation's Gold Star, Fallen First Responder, Smart Home, and Homeless Veteran programs comprise their In the Line of Duty programs. They're all dedicated to honoring our nation's heroes and their families. The Foundation's Never Forget programs engage people in 9/11 remembrance across America. Over 80 runs, walks, and climbs a year, dozens of golf outings, and the Tunnel to Towers 9/11 Institute is educating kids in kindergarten through 12th grade to help our nation keep its vow to never forget. More than 95 cents of every dollar you donate to Tunnel to Towers goes to its programs. Never forget the sacrifices of our country's greatest heroes. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2, T.org.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service, bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB port to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
Las Vegas for this Wednesday of Belmont Racing Festival Week at Saratoga. We now go to Rich Eng standing by. And Richie, there's more than just horse racing coming up in sports. There's the championships of both hockey.
Quickly injured in the line of duty.
Basketball as well.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners. The NHL and the NBA have now reached the championship level. And you know, in all candor, both leagues have been off a week since their semifinals to decide who was going to play for the title. And I think whatever momentum they had as far as interest levels kind of lost. I mean, it's been a full week and more for the NHL. But Thursday night, the Dallas Mavericks in game one will be at Boston. And Boston's favored by 6.5 on Thursday night. That's tomorrow night.
That's the
NBA. And the NHL, that's Stanley Cup.
Yeah, go ahead. I was going to say that's the NBA Finals, the Celtics with Dallas. Mm-hmm.
Yes. And then the Stanley Cup Finals don't start until Saturday, Ralph.
Oh, man.
Saturday. And it's going to be Edmonton at Florida. Florida is favored in this particular game at -135. And I think of interest in the two series, Ralph, is that from last year's championship games, championship level series, for example, the Vegas Golden Knights won the Stanley Cup, but the team they beat was the Florida Panthers. Mm-hmm. And now the Panthers are back to try to remedy that coming in second last year. They're going to try to win the Stanley Cup. And in last year's NBA title, the Denver Nuggets knocked out the Boston Celtics, and the Celtics are back to win for the title, and they are favorites. So we'll see if Florida and Boston can come back. It's hard to reach the finals 2 years in a row, much less win them. So good luck to all four of those teams.
Well, I guess we can label these then the revenge championships.
Yeah, you know, a lot of those players, to get that close to the championship and not quite get there, I'm sure that motivated them during the entire offseason and during the regular season. And it's going to be real interesting. But, in particular with Dallas, I think I sent out a tweet that I thought the winner of the Dallas-Minnesota series was going to beat the Boston Celtics. And I still kind of feel that way. In all candor, I've not bet Dallas in the series yet. I'm kind of like waiting. I still got another 24 hours. But, mm-hmm. The backcourt of Irving and Luka Doncic.
Oh, man.
It's tremendous. Yeah, when those guys are on, they're as good a backcourt as I've seen in sports for like 50 years. You know?
When those two guys are on, you need six guys on the other side of the court, at least. That's for sure. All right. In any case, we've got those things starting, the championship starting there. And, of course, some way or not, in kind of comparing them. We got a lot of championship going on this week at Saratoga. That's well. You'll have a full sheet of Belmont Stakes Day for Belmont Stakes Day racing on Saturday. And, of course, there's no Santa Anita today. But do you have a pick for us?
Yeah, I always try to come up with a pick on the Wednesday and Thursday that Santa Anita, Southern California, is not racing. And, you know, for the kind of horses I look for, Ralph, quite frankly, it was kind of tough to try to find somebody. But I do have a horse for the folks. It's at Churchill, race number 9. Let's go with the number 8 horse, a horse called Backstretch Rose. Kenny McPeak trains, and Brian Hernandez rides. They're the same jockey and trainer of Mystic Dan and the Belmont Stakes. But this horse, one of the angles I like, dropping first time from maiden special weight down to maiden claiming. That's a big drop. And this horse is a dead closer, so we'll need a fast enough pace to do his best work. Let's go with the 8, Backstretch Rose, 6-1 in race 9.
Ninth and final, number 8, Backstretch Rose, the 8 in the 9th race. Churchill Downs, Rich Eng's selection for the race day listeners. And Richie, we will talk to you tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we wrap this show up with John Lindo, and he's coming up next. Don't go away.
South Point Casino is the perfect place to be. Our racebook is completely separate from the sportsbook and totally dedicated to the horse player. With 52 overhead TVs, free Wi-Fi, and cocktail service. Bring your tablet or smartphone and plug into the USB ports to look up your favorite handicapping website without draining your battery. Want to wager from your seat? No problem with our IPTs. Just sign up, make a deposit, and you're off to the races. Plus, you'll earn points for dining, hotel, movies, entertainment, and the spa just by using the club card when wagering. South Point Casino's Racebook has you covered.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, we wrap up this start of the big racing festival week at Saratoga for the Belmont Stakes on our Wednesday show with John Lindo standing by. John, good morning.
Good morning, Ralph. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my man. Weather in SoCal?
It's beautiful here. It's overcast right now. It's supposed to warm up a little bit this week. We're not going to get to Las Vegas temperatures, but it'll be nice and a little warmer. Maybe we're going to get rid of some of this June gloom finally.
All right. Well, we're, of course, looking towards the weather at Saratoga Springs at Saratoga Racecourse. National Weather Service looks like it's going to be raining all through the four-day festival. But when you talk to people at Saratoga Springs watching their local news, that weatherman is much more optimistic about the weather there than the national is.
Well, it sounds like the worst of the weather will probably be tomorrow, Thursday, and I think it's going to taper off, according to the reports I've got, Friday, Saturday. Let's hope Mother Nature is a racing fan, because there's so many grass races over this week at Saratoga.
Yeah, no question about that. And, of course, some of those races see horses that have competed there at Saratoga. Some, the European horses, of course, may have an advantage with the give in the ground with whatever moisture is in there. So we'll wait and see about that. But, boy, it's going to be a lot of fun. John, I mentioned at the top of the show that you may not be able to join us on Saturday.
Yeah, I've got to make an appearance at Fairplex Park at the satellite wagering facility there. We're going to broadcast live. So I'm trying to figure out with the 7:45 first post at Belmont, you know, how I can mix in. Maybe I can do a little hit toward the end of the show for you on Saturday from my car. You know, I'll send you a text, Ralph. We'll figure this out. But I there's no way I can do it for an extended period of time. I've got some stuff I have to do over there at the facility.
Well, having worked at Fairplex Park, I can tell you that if you're doing it from the press box, it's about a 10-minute journey from the where you park your car until you get up there and get set up. So I fully understand that. You will let us know, because if there's a fact that if there's only going to be abbreviated time that you have with us on Saturday, we'll kind of feature you on the Friday show and get a lot of the Saturday races as you see them out of the way on Friday to help out our listeners there. But don't fear, folks, the Lindo Report for Santa Anita, both over the weekend, and those big cards at Saratoga will be right here at the South Point, free of charge, exclusively each and every one of those racing days. Right, John?
Absolutely. We'll start up with Saratoga tomorrow. We'll go through Sunday. And obviously, Santa Anita continues and opens back up on Friday.
John, before we get to the end of the show, if you have a selection, I'll be happy to get one for you today.
Unfortunately, I don't have anything for today, Ralph. I did not work on it again. I'm just kind of waiting and working through the weather situation at Saratoga as far as the handicap.
All right. We will keep that in mind, that's for sure. But a quick first blush at the Belmont Field. We've got Seize the Gray breaking from the rail. We got Sierra Leone from the outside, and Mystic Dan is also towards the inside. How do these post positions affect, you think, this Belmont Field?
Well, Seize the Gray drawing the rail. He's got speed. He's going to have to use it from the fence. There isn't a ton of early lick in this race, so I don't think it's going to affect anybody. I don't think it's terrible because there's a long run to the first turn. So, you know, as far as the posts go, and for a lightly raced horse like Mindframe, being drawn on the far outside, that probably lessens the things that he has to overcome. He does have tactical speed. He'll lead from the outside post under Ired Ortiz, and he might settle into a good spot. So I think the draw probably helped Mindframe, and it confirms what Seize the Gray has to do drawing the rail.
Now, John, Jonathan Hardoon, of course, there at Saratoga's hearing these little rumors about Mindframe, very good reports coming out. You hear the same there way back on the West Coast?
Yeah, I watched the video of his workout 2 weeks ago when he worked with Fierceness, and he was the better horse. Mm-hmm. And he galloped out in front, and it wasn't long after that Fierceness was declared not running in the Belmont. So there's a reason for that. And I think the other reason he's in this race is that it's a mile and a quarter and not in a mile and a half this year. And I think that's why we got a field of 10. The little shorter distance is making it possible for more entries in this race.
Not to mention it could be a, I hate to say the Belmont Stakes would be a rehearsal, but it might be a rehearsal for the Travers coming up at the same distance, the same place, not more than a few months down the road from the Belmont.
Well, I don't think anybody's going to use a $2 million grade one as a prep, but no. It doesn't hurt to have a good race over the track.
Yeah, like I said, rehearsal, not anything more than they're going to try to win that race, that's for sure. Well, we wrap up this race day show, starting the week looking at the Racing Festival. The Belmont Racing Festival at Saratoga is going to be a fun week, folks, and there'll be plenty of opportunities to make money, and our handicappers will help us do that. And, John, before we end this show, well, you know, with Jerry gone, I guess you're the man who's going to have to sign us off.
Have a great race day, everybody.